This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a new natural product from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response: elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation. And zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is an all-natural, science-based formula and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to focus on the role that probiotics might play, especially from the standpoint of women's health. We're going to talk to an expert. She is a nutritionist, Carly Newbert. Carly is also a self-professed biohacking diva. We'll get into that momentarily. She has personal experience in overcoming some serious health challenges. We'll touch upon that as well. And so without further ado, here's Carly Newbert. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. And thanks for talking about, important topics, all across your podcast. And of course, today I'm excited as always to talk about biohacking. And a particular passion of mine is talking about women's health. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Indeed. This is a term that's being tossed around a lot, biohacking. It's kind of a new term for some of our listeners. So, provide us with a little bit of a definition of that.
Okay. Well, you're a biohacker. Probably all your listeners are biohackers.
Obviously, of course.
Bio means biology, or our body's chemistry. And to hack, that really kind of comes from the technology or the computer world, where you're trying to fix something, patch it, find a solution for. And so the idea of biohacking is that, we are responsible to find those health solutions for our own bodies. We can't expect a doctor or a pill to do that for us.
Indeed. And you came to this actually via a personal journey, overcoming some health obstacles. Can you tell us about your own personal journey? How'd you get into this?
So, by the age of 22, I pretty much failed Western medicine. So I've been diagnosed with depression and chronic fatigue syndrome, but really I had chronic mold exposure as well as chronic Lyme disease. And the things that go along with that, which were hormone imbalance and leaky gut and thyroid problems and, you name it, I was going through it. And the only two options that were given me were psychiatric medications and therapy. And that was not making mustard for me. And so I went on a journey of self-discovery and discovery of this whole world that we call integrative health and, more now than ever, we're calling it biohacking.
Well, that's a wonderful self-empowering story because, statistics show that a very high percentage of Americans, and particularly women, it's alarming. I think one statistic suggests that up to a quarter of American women are taking antidepressants. The use of anti-anxiety medications is rampant, especially now with the pandemic and the lockdown. So how is it that some of these health problems can undermine mental health? And, it's not just a matter of taking an antidepressant to fix your neurotransmitters.
Sure. So, we've been fed that kind of the marketing, pharmaceuticals and the commercials. Our mental health, and especially for women, is tied to the good biotics and the bad biotics, you know, that are found in our bodies. So one particular problem that women seem to have more than men is a yeast overgrowth. And you may or may not know this, but every time we're eating sugar of any type, you know, whether it's in the crackers we're eating or the bread, or if we're just outright eating cake, you know, we are giving food to pathogenic or unfriendly yeast in our body.
Right. And so, and it, you know, obviously I've been on this journey for many, many decades. And, you know, it's wonderful that you in a new generation are sort of picking up the banner that was initially launched in the 1960s and 1970s with the book The Yeast Connection. But how can yeast affect mood, energy? You know, some people just regard yeast as, okay, I've got a vaginal yeast infection. That's it. I'll use some Monistat or a more powerful pill, knock it out. You know, that's the be-all and end-all of treatment of yeast problems for women.
Yeah. So, you know, about 20 years ago, this idea of leaky gut was, you know, kind of coming out, and integrative medicine was talking about it. And fast forward to now, to 20 years later, what we're realizing is that leaky gut is absolutely a problem, but so is leaky brain. And if we have leaky gut, we're likely having leaky brain. And so let's say we have an overgrowth of yeast. Well, if that has started in the gut, the chemicals or the inflammatory molecules that are created by this yeast infection within the gut can travel to the brain. And of course, inflammation of any type, whether it's in the body or the brain, is going to cause unpleasant side effects. And those unpleasant side effects we call anxiety or depression or moodiness. And, you know, that's not the only cause of anxiety, depression, and moodiness, but that can be a big contributor.
Indeed. So the notion is that toxic byproducts of yeast metabolism can not just stay in the gut. You know, it's been said that the gut is not like Las Vegas. What happens in the gut doesn't necessarily stay in the gut. And then it travels through the bloodstream. But also there is this, as you mentioned, the blood-brain barrier, which is supposed to protect the brain from toxins. But that barrier, just like the gut barrier, can be breached. And you can see the penetration of harmful substances, aldehydes, alcohol, antigenic material from the yeast, because the yeast is a powerful stimulator of the immune system, sometimes in negative ways, and may cause inflammation, allergic symptoms, you know, just like mold. Mold obviously can cause problems too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so, you know, we go from talking about a simple yeast infection, you know, like you mentioned, whether that's a candida, which can be systemic, or, you know, localized for women in vaginosis. And so, you know, we go from that simple, what we consider a simple issue, to seeing that it affects our whole immune system and our whole quality of life.
And what might be some of the hallmarks of having this? I mean, do you have to have an obvious you know, vaginal discharge, so-called cottage cheese discharge, itching, burning, to have a yeast problem? And what about men? You know, men may not have such obvious manifestations of a yeast problem and yet experience symptoms.
Yeah, so we talk about, you know, that cottage cheese or the discharge, and of course that's a hallmark sign. But there's plenty of women and men who are walking around with kind of chronic lower grade symptoms, right? So we're talking about moodiness, brain fog, inability to concentrate, maybe itching, you know, whether that's on the body or near, you know, the genitals. And then we always look in the mouth, right? There may or may not be a white coating on the tongue. And so I often say, you know, if you have kind of these nebulous, low grade, not feeling good, not thinking well type of symptoms, it's time to look at the yeast balance in your body and to look at the microbiome and the good biotics in the body. You know,
indeed.
Time to really get to the core.
And this has actually been subsumed in something that has been referred to as dysbiosis, which means, you know, perhaps not even just yeast. Yeast can be part of this equation, but also an imbalance of bacteria in your gut, which, you know, the bacteria also may have adverse effects on our immune system, or may lead to brain fog, mood problems. I mean, there's all kinds of, the research is exploding. There's even relationship to neurological diseases like Parkinson's disease when it comes to gut imbalances. So, you know, this is just a really big deal now in terms of research.
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of goes back to that old adage, you know, you are what you eat. And, you know, we like to get fancy. We have all these layers of medicine and integrative medicine and treatments and supplements and vitamins and medications. But really, we've got to get the microbiome or the diet and, you know, the byproducts of the diet, we've got to get that in order to, you know, prevent problems and to address problems.
And so the tie-in here, obviously, is to probiotics. Probiotics can be a path towards restoration of gut integrity. And, you know, there's much more to it than that. Of course, there's the diet, there's avoidance of medications that imbalance the microbiome. But where do probiotics figure into this?
Yeah, so, you know, since the dawn of time, man has lived and women have lived symbiotically with nature. And in other words, you know, we are a host to bacteria, both good and bad, in our bodies. And in our modern diet and in our modern lifestyle, we aren't getting enough of that good bacteria in our body. And even if we do, we're not creating the environment in which that good bacteria can set up shop, thrive, replicate, and give us the end result, which is called postbiotic. So, you know, I'm a big fan of EFI, as you mentioned, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, because they're kind of that full system of probiotics. So you're getting the prebiotic in Dr. O'Hara's, you're getting the probiotic, which we're all familiar with, and you're getting that end byproduct, which we know as postbiotic.
Right. So obviously, prebiotic feeds the good bacteria. That's a good thing. What are some examples? I mean, Dr. O'Hara's contains prebiotics, but what are some natural examples of prebiotics, some dietary components that might foster a good balance?
So we find lots of different types of prebiotics in all of our vegetables. So a diet that's rich in a varied types of vegetables is going to kind of give you that full spectrum of prebiotics. We also find prebiotics in some of our fruits, but that can be a little more problematic because they're high in natural sugar. So, you know, we can take prebiotics as a supplement, but my recommendation is that we have a diet full of vegetables for those prebiotics.
And generally, those would include, you know, some of the high-fiber starchy vegetables, you know, for people who can tolerate some carbohydrates in their diet. Is it necessary to go on a zero-carb diet, on a paleo diet, to conquer yeast? Was that your personal experience, or did you just minimize your intake of refined sugars?
You know, I've seen in my client base that sometimes we can get rid of a yeast overgrowth or a candida imbalance with just a low carb diet, not a no carb diet, and high quality probiotics. So for me though, I have such severe symptoms that I really benefited from a paleo diet, which really took out all grains. Mm-hmm. So my only types of carbohydrates for quite a while were these starchy vegetables, you know, so your root vegetables, your parsnips, your carrots, mm-hmm. and things like that. For me, that works best, and I tend to recommend that for my clients. But as you and I both know, that can be really hard for a lot of people to comply with. And that's where, you know, we bring in high-quality and high-potency probiotics to kind of fill in the gap where the diet is still modulating, we're still changing, we're still adapting.
So what are some of the things that conspire to get us to this? You know, this is kind of an unnatural state. I'm, you know, pretty sure that, individuals who lived in kind of a Paleolithic environment, with, dirt and bacteria exposure, and lots of high fiber foods and not a lot of refined sugar and virtually no medication, they were less likely to get these types of problems. What are some of the modern innovations that have made us more likely to get yeast overgrowth?
Well, just our modern diet, right, with our industrialized foods, so our overprocessed foods that are always high in added sugar or natural sugar, that's definitely contributing. But there's other things like alcohol, you know, we drink lots of alcohol, smoking, lack of exercise, even things that you might not think about, like drinking tap water, which is usually chlorinated. Mm-hmm. So this is affecting, you know, the good bacteria in the body and allowing for yeast and other pathogens to overgrow.
What are some of the medications that might make it more likely that you'll develop yeast? Obviously, antibiotics. We'll start with that. And so many people take antibiotics at a drop of a hat. But are there others that typically can imbalance the GI tract?
So heartburn medications, they are shutting down our natural production of stomach acid. And that's going to affect the digestive system from the stomach, you know, down to, you know, the bowel movement. We've got painkillers, statin, chemotherapy, and one that's particularly alarming for me as a woman is the use of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
So birth control pills absolutely change the bacterial balance within the body. And now, you know, we have our young girls as young as 10 years old on birth control pills, and we're altering their microbiome and leaving them open for more yeast overgrowth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because altering the hormones obviously has an impact on yeast. I mean, it's women's experience that there are certain times of the month when their hormones are kind of raging that they get more yeast infections, right? And so by artificially messing with the natural balance of hormones, you can promote yeast problems, I suppose.
Absolutely. And, you know, I call that kind of that vicious cycle. I call that the UCBC. So, you know, we've altered the hormone balance, and so we're more prone to yeast overgrowth. And then that means we are more prone to moodiness, and we turn into beasts, right? As women, we've all experienced this. And, you know, maybe Dr. Hoffman, you've been around a woman who is, you know, is having a problem with mood, and it's almost to the point of, you know, being uncontrollable, right? It just kind of comes out of nowhere. And that's because we've got the severe alteration in the microbiome that's changing the neurotransmitters, that's changing the hormones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the best policy for a male at times like that is to just zip it, not say anything.
Silence is golden.
There is no good response on that one.
No.
Yeah, okay. So
you're a smart man. Very
yeah.
smart man.
It's called diplomacy. and okay, so so these are some of the factors that obviously can promote an imbalance in your gastrointestinal tract and set you up for yeast problems. So you mentioned postbiotics. I think that's actually one of the unique things about the Dr. Ahira's probiotics that makes me like to use them. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So probiotics are usually made by our own bodies. So they're generally made in our colons. And one postbiotic that we maybe have heard about is butyrate. We know that it's good for the immune system in general.
Say again, I'm sorry.
Again, butyrate.
Butyrate. Yeah.
Butyrate.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or so butyric acid, as it's sometimes referred to.
Butyric acid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something that theoretically we're making in our colons when we have a high fiber diet. And when we have enough good bacteria. Well, you know, if you suffer from digestive problems, we know that low butyrate is linked with IBS, Crohn's disease, and colitis. So we know that some people are not able to make those end products or postbiotics. And so with Dr. Ahira's, because it's a whole food fermented probiotic, you're actually getting those postbiotics that perhaps your body is not making enough of. And that's unique. As you said, we don't find that in many other probiotic formulas.
And so you experimented on yourself. You tried this, that, and the other thing, presumably, in the course of your journey. And you found that this one agreed with you and addressed the problems.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, here I am experimenting on myself and also in nutrition school, you know, learning the science behind all sorts of things. And I'm taking all kinds of different, you know, probiotics, trying this, trying that. And as soon as I tried Dr. O'Hara's, it was literally the only probiotic I had ever taken where I actually noticed a reduction in symptoms within the first week. And for me, that was, you know, life altering, mind blowing. And so, you know, I had to know more about what made it so unique.
And it's different than other probiotics in that it is a blend of many different species. It's multi-species, so it's kind of a little bit like diversifying your portfolio in a, you know, when you're trying to build a financial portfolio, you need a, you know, exposure to different sectors to have a balanced portfolio. And similarly, you know, it might make sense to do that when you select a probiotic instead of one species specific thing with, you know, beneficial results for some folks, but for others maybe, you know, could imbalance the delicate balance inside.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dr. O'Hara's has a very unique strain. The scientific name is a little long and cumbersome, so we just call it TH10, which you're not really going to find in other probiotics on the market. That's something that Dr. O'Hara actually discovered in his process of creating this whole food, you know, synergistic fermented probiotic.
Okay. This is a good point in which to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Our conversation today is with nutritionist and biohacker Carly Newbert. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The subject, women's health and its relationship to the microbiome. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.